This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Okay, it is Sharp Money. It's VSIN, the Sports Betting Network, as we welcome you back. Hour two. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, as we welcome you in. Chris Farley. Farley's back. Professional handicapper, sportswagers.ca. You can find him on Twitter at Farley Betts. Also, Laying the Points podcast. Make sure you check it out. We say what's up to Farley. Hi, Chris. Thanks for joining. So let's move backwards to move forward. We're going to talk about the Farley process week to week in the NFL and maybe some trends that you've picked up on. But how about last night? You've got a push on the three with the Bengals and Rams and then an easy cover by the Eagles there down in Tampa. Do you take anything from those two games last night moving forward as a handicapper?
Well, I take, first of all, from the Philadelphia Eagles, I take that I guess they're back. You know, I guess their preseason is over, because in those first 2 weeks, I don't know if there was two phonier wins in the NFL through the first 2 weeks than what the Eagles got. You know, they obviously won those games, but a lot of turnovers, right? Just a lot of fortunate things bouncing their way against the Patriots and against the Vikings. I think the Vikings fumbled, what, like three different times or four different times in that game against them, but that was a different Eagles team from what I saw last night. Jalen Hurts still a little sloppy with the football. You know, I think that passing game still needs some work, and I think that's a Shane Steichen thing. But as long as the Eagles have that healthy offensive and defensive line, that is going to be a very formidable opponent to anybody all season. And then, you know, the Rams, they fight hard, right? Like last night was more about the Bengals for me. I think the Rams are a pretty decent team. I mean, we saw them fight really hard against a great San Francisco team in week two. And then they came back and made that a close game at the end. And obviously Matthew Stafford also making some mistakes, but the Bengals defense really stepped up in a really desperate spot. So I think the market is undervaluing the Rams a little bit heading into week four. You know, but we could talk about that in some other games. But, you know, we're starting to learn about these teams a little bit more now after 3 weeks.
Well, Amal, can I ask you? I want to ask you, Amal, a question, because, and Farley, I want you to jump in on this as well, because I totally agree with what you said about the Rams. And one of those picks last night wasn't on Stafford. It was a tip that got picked, and it was kind of a momentum shift in the game. The Rams had every reason to win that game last night. But, Amal, if I were to throw to you right now, and then we'll go to Farley on it as well, Rams at Indy, 1 o'clock window this Sunday, what do you make the number? Again, probably going to be Minshew with the concussion to Richardson. I'm just going to throw that it's TBD on the board right now, but the Rams at Indy, Amal, what would you make your number?
I would make it a pick 'em or one in favor of the Colts just because they're at home. I agree with Chris. When you watched that game last night, the one deficiency I see with the Rams is the lack of consistent running game, and I thought Cincinnati could have been exploited in that particular area. But I'll tell you, for my money, guys, and I know, Patrick, you probably watch more Matthew Stafford games than anybody I know. Chris, to me, he was terrific. I mean, Tutu Atwell, yep. Puka Nacua. Listen, I like this kid coming out of BYU. I didn't think he was going to be this good, but I still think there's some pieces there. Van Jefferson, there was a deep throw he was a little bit underthrown on. But Matthew Stafford, to me, looks like he's turned back the clock a little bit. He took a couple of headbanger shots. He walked right off the turf. I was thinking, no wonder why his wife wants him to retire. But, man, this guy showed toughness, moxie, grit. I thought the Rams were right there. The only thing I thought was negative yesterday in this one, Chris, was some of Sean McVay's decision-making late in the game, but that's another story.
Yeah, Matt, you know, the Rams' offensive line is a little concerning too, right? And you got the Colts who are, I mean, surprisingly maybe to some, but the Colts have some talent on defense, and they're top 10 in sack percentage heading into week four as well, so that's something to watch for that offensive line for the Rams. But yeah, totally agree with you guys. You know, Matthew Stafford, some of the passes that he's been making since week one, you talk about zip on the ball. Like, not a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL can make the kind of throws that he's been making. Again, a lot of unfortunate bounces and some of those interceptions as well. I would make this Rams minus one still. I believe that's where it opened. You know, you got to respect the Colts at home. The Colts have played historically very well at home the past few seasons. We remember week three last season, they upset the Kansas City Chiefs. But they are coming off of kind of a, you know, I don't want to say phony win, right? But the Ravens kind of had that game at hand. There's a pass interference call that probably should have been called. Of course, the Ravens probably should have done a few other things right before that happened too. But in overtime, it was surprising to see that result. But the Colts will fight hard. I just think the Rams now you know, 1-2, right? They're in the NFC West. San Francisco's not slowing down. I think they're going to be the more desperate team heading into week four.
It's as good as I've seen Stafford look. He looks in shape to me. I totally agree with what Amal and Farley, what you both just said. I think it's a I thought the Rams are going to be terrible. I think they're feisty as all get out. I would agree with the pick 'em. It opened, depending on shop, Rams, Indy opened a pick 'em. Right now, Indy over at DraftKings laying 1.5. So, Farley, that gives an idea of what you're saying. You've got the Rams 1 point. Right now, Indy laying 1.5. Okay, let's talk about the process. I know Dustin texted you about this, but I think, you know, for a novice bettor, somebody like yourself that does this for a living, I think people are interested to crawl in and get inside the process of a pro. Can you walk us through your typical week as a pro sports bettor when it comes to the NFL in particular?
Absolutely. The first thing that I'm looking at is where maybe there's some misconception with the final score, right? You know, just a traditional box score analysis can tell you a lot, right? Like you see a team like the Washington Commanders last week. Yes, they got embarrassed, annihilated by the Bills, but they also had 5 turnovers. You know, Sam Howell, 4 interceptions. So it's your job to inspect how probable that is for that sort of thing to continue for a team like the Commanders, a player like Sam Howell, right? You know, our job week to week is kind of to see the validity of these results, ATS, and then compare them to where our perceptions are with where the market has these teams. And really, you know, an area that I've really grown as far as handicapping goes over the years is I thought, like a lot of people think, is that I just know football really well, right? I know the X's and O's really well. And of course, that's important, but really market analysis, measuring the way that the sharps think, the way that these lines are moving immediately every Sunday night, every Monday morning, and then midweek as well, you know, just kind of taking in hand an evaluation of the market, recording that in some way on your own and watching it and being able to anticipate, that is the single biggest way to make sure that you win in any sport. But it's crucial in the NFL because it's such a sharp market, right? Like we're already seeing some lines this week that I would say are exponentially sharper than previous weeks. Like, you know, a team like the Jaguars, for example, right? 3 points at home. They kind of have to be 3-point favorites at home, right? They haven't shown us that much just yet. And the Falcons are a good team. But now the Jaguars have their backs to the wall. They have a better quarterback. They're at home. That's a sharp line, -3 on the Jags right now. Lines are sharpening, so you need to get ahead of some of these lines as early as possible. And I would say don't be afraid to use parlays and teasers. Now, you know, with some caution, of course, but like this week, for example, week 4, you got the Ravens as short underdogs. You got the Rams as short underdogs. The Dolphins as short underdogs on the road after a 70-point performance. So you got some teams who you can tease 6 points right through that teaser, all those key numbers anyway. So looking at things a little bit differently, I think to find an advantage in the market is a key as well.
Patrick, I love the point Chris just made in terms of looking at the market and understanding. I think it's so crucial. I just had a conversation about that last night in terms of the NFL. If a line is at, say, 4 and all of a sudden it goes to 6, 6.5, that's probably going to be sharp money, syndicate money. Pay attention to that. You generally don't want to be against that move. And I think Chris brings up a point that many people that are not as well-versed may not understand. If you missed it, go back and listen to it. I'm telling you, this was such an important part, which Chris talked about. And I know I've been guilty of this in the past. You sit there and think, yo, I know the X's and O's. I know this team's going to run a cover 2. This is tight ends that can exploit it. X, Y, and Z, different situations. But it's not just that. I think that's such a great point there.
And because the market, Chris, and to follow up on what I'm all saying, is so reactionary to recency bias. So that number is being set based on this up-down league. It's like you mentioned about the Bills. The Bills, 5 takeaways, yet the Commanders were kind of hanging around even late in that game. It was a weird game the way it kind of played out. So it's like, and again, the market is so perceptive to both of your points, Chris, that you have to be careful with the overreactions.
100%. And then, you know, on the flip side of that, you see lines like this week, right? The Cowboys often a really embarrassing loss. The Patriots off another impressive defensive showing against the Jets. And yet the Cowboys are 6.5 to 7-point favorites at home, right? Like, that's a big line. I mean, that's a big line in week 4, but that, to me, that's a sharp line, right? Because we've seen the way the Cowboys have reacted off of a loss in the past, certainly last season. And you know, this line isn't giving you anything here, right? You would hope for maybe a shorter line on this one, so you could take advantage of the Cowboys following up and responding after last week's loss. But the books aren't giving you that, right? Syndicates aren't giving you that, I don't think, because they moved this line right away, possibly. So, you know, you're now seeing things get a little sharper. There's less to expose, for sure. But that's just because we're all kind of figuring out who these teams are, you know, and that includes the sharp betting community.
You can find me a mall on Sundays betting MLS soccer, because the market for the market for the National Football League is freaking razor thin. It is so difficult to beat.
I would agree with you. That's why Chris's point on the teasers is very well made. We talked about it last week, Patrick, with the Chargers and the Vikings game. It didn't matter which side was the favorite. You tease either side who's the dog up, and it was going to be a victory. It felt like it was going to be a one-possession game. Chris brought up the point with the Rams potentially here. You got the Ravens catching three against the Browns. I'm not ready to take the Browns laying 9, 9.5 in that spot. Maybe the Texans at home getting 9, 9.5, something like that. I think Chris brings up a lot of good points that people should revisit if they're not as well-versed in terms of the NFL, or they want why they may not be or have been as successful.
Absolutely. Let's keep it going. Chris Farley, professional handicapper. When we come back, Farley, I know you got a couple of bets to give the audience, but I want to start with Thursday night and what you set your number in Green Bay with this Honolulu Blue and Silver and Dan Campbell in town and the Lions. Check out Chris, sportswager.ca. Also, the podcast, Laying the Points. Make sure you check that out, at Farley Bets on Twitter. We're back. Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, if you're looking to be a better bettor, and of course, why wouldn't you be? Tens of thousands of people have already tuned into Juice Reel. That's Juice, R-E-E-L, in the App Store. Juice Reel is not a sports book. It's a tool to help you beat the books. Juice Reel connects all of your sports betting accounts in one app. Okay, it loads all your betting history. It gives you analytical edges backed by nearly $1 billion in bets from sports bettors all over 50 states. Use that data to follow winners and fade the losers. Don't place another bet until you've downloaded this revolutionary sports betting tool. It's called Juice Reel. That's juice like orange juice, reel, R-E-E-L. It's absolutely free to download right now, iPhone or Android. Become a better bettor. Speaking of bettors, we've got Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher, and professional handicapper Chris Farley joins us for another segment. Laying the Points is the podcast for Chris. Also, you can read the articles over at sportswagers.ca. And I was a little fly on the wall, a conversation between Amal and Chris that I'd like you two to pick up because I thought it was interesting, Amal.
Yeah, Chris, we were talking about the Monday night game and the line between the Bengals and the Rams being the Bengals at about 3 with Burrow about 60-65% healthy. And then on Sunday, we see the Colts right now a one-point favorite against the Rams in Indianapolis. And I was saying that, hey, this is a good way to look at the line. And you brought up a great point. This is exactly how you look at the line. Should there really be only a two-point differential between the Rams playing at Cincinnati and the Rams playing at Indianapolis? And if you can kind of take it a step further and explain how you perceive the lines, I thought you made a great point about this team 2 weeks ago was favored at Houston. Or, excuse me, underdog at Houston.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's arguably the biggest part of my handicap. I mean, you know, it's tough to say that for any one element, but these Colts were one-point underdogs 2 weeks ago against the Texans, and I know that was at Houston. You know, I know that Houston has impressed since. Like, I might have been wrong about C.J. Stroud. That kid has shown a lot of juice over there, but you have to look at line disparity every week, right? Like, the market very quickly turns, right? And I think that Patrick made that point on the last segment as well, right? It's such a reactionary market. It's such a reactionary sport because there are only 18 weeks in this sport and every game really matters. But some of the disparity that you see week to week in some of these lines is really alarming, and it'll really jump out. And that's a prime example of it, right? Like, the Colts are a good team, but we've seen the Rams go toe-to-toe with the 49ers. We've seen Rams go toe-to-toe with the Bengals at Cincinnati. That was a very close game, even though it was a 10-point lead for Cincinnati up until the final minute. So, you know, the Rams, I'm talking a lot about the Rams on this show, but I think they make an excellent teaser leg this week. And I think they are getting a little disrespected in the marketplace now. I know they need some more protection from Matthew Stafford, but this is a young team that's fighting. And by the way, Sean McVay, still a top five coach in my eyes. I mean, this is, you know, one of the better coaches who was going to have his team responding. So, yes, Amal, it's such a great point. Evaluating the week-to-week market and how things dramatically change very often, it's a huge part of what I do and how I hopefully win.
I'd love to get both of your number on Thursday night, just two nights away. Detroit-Green Bay, a divisional matchup. So Green Bay opened one. We pushed through zero. Now Detroit's favored by one. Detroit, to be fair, was very good against Atlanta. And Green Bay, 18 unanswered after Derek Carr goes out. So they pick up a win. Love has been very, very good thus far in a short season. But we'll start with you, Farley. Where do you have this number? It's, again, DraftKings is showing the Lions favored by a point. And do you have a lean here?
A lot of what goes into my handicapping as well is, you know, culture, the way these teams respond.
Yeah, I think we lost Chris there.
Has arguably the most protection in the league, right? He's very comfortable there in Detroit. And then you have Jordan Love, who I was talking about him preseason as well. I think there's a lot to this kid. He has a lot of talent. He's showing a lot of confidence. So, two pretty good quarterbacks, but I think the Lions should still be 3-point favorites, even on the road in this situation. This is a very, very solid Lions team at this point. The Green Bay Packers are still incurring a lot of injuries. Like, we don't know if David Bakhtiari is going to be in this game. We don't know if Christian Watson or Aaron Jones are going to be in this game. Now, Eldon Jenkins, their left tackle, I believe, is a little banged up as well. So, you know, the Packers are going through some injuries. So are the Lions. But we're seeing the depth that the Lions have right now, how they're kind of fighting through that. They were exceptional, really, in all regards last week. And we remember, right, last year, week 18, Lions kind of stole the Packers' soul in that final game, you know, eliminating them from the playoffs. I'm sure the Packers still remember that. But this is a game where Jordan Love, you know, even though he's played really well, I could see more being on his shoulders as maybe they have to catch up and you know, keep pace with a very prolific Lions offense at this point, who I think can really score on any team, you know, especially because of that line protection, right? We see that from the Philadelphia Eagles, too. And you have an elite offensive line. It's arguably the biggest difference maker in the NFL besides an elite NFL quarterback. So I would make the Lions 3, give them a little bit more respect here. But these Packers are a good team, too. They're going to be feisty. I just really like the Lions, probably a little more than what the market does right now.
I love Chris's breakdown, Patrick. To me, I'd go the other way. I would probably have this closer to a pick, but it's the plethora of injuries. You know, Chris already mentioned the offensive side of the ball. I'll add to it Rashawn Gary and Jaire Alexander, both questionable. We know how good of a cover corner Alexander is when he is healthy. So you're looking at six potential starters that are in question mark or questionable for the game Thursday night. We talked about with the Ravens on Sunday. They had seven starters out against the Colts. They come up short in that one. For me, the one thing, Patrick, I still value home field advantage. I know the odds makers don't give it as much credence, but there are certain teams, Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh, the Patriots at home, this Packers team in Lambeau on a night game. I think it's always a good spot for them. I know the Lions have the better roster at this point in time. I like the quarterback play in favor of Detroit. But to me, I still think going on the road against a division opponent, and Chris referenced a great point, which is a revenge spot here for the Packers. Last year, the last game of the regular season, they lose that game. It stymies them from getting into the postseason. And one other thing I'll add, I think this team is not better at quarterback without Rodgers, but the overall mental aspect of this team is better by subtraction of Aaron Rodgers.
I think that's fair.
I think everybody else is a little bit more engaged. I don't feel like you've got that 10,000-foot shadow looming over the rest of this team.
I think it helps LaFleur, too, to be able to run a team without that presence of Rodgers, is essentially the same age and has an overbearing presence. I totally agree with what both of you said. And I'll say this about Atlanta. I thought the Lions were great on Sunday. Atlanta's got a great roster. They just don't have a quarterback. We mentioned it yesterday. They need a quarterback. Okay, we'll get to a play from you here, Farley. Miami, you're going to take the 3 in Buffalo.
Yeah, I am not going to step in front of the Miami Dolphins right now. And, you know, it's not because of the 70 points, even though that is awfully impressive. It's not because they got over 700 yards last week. I mean, that was just an unbelievable showcase of speed and offense to to watch. But, you know, you have a team in the Miami Dolphins who might still be thinking about the AFC playoffs last year. They played those Bills really, really tough. I'm seeing a lot of improvements from their defense, too, just the way they're flying around the ball. They're limiting teams a lot more. You know, Vic Fangio making a big difference there. You know, just kind of an adult in the room for that defense. They got a lot of sacks, too. I believe against the Patriots, they got four. So, you know, this is a defense that's improving on top of it. The Bills and the Dolphins are a lot closer than people, than at least the market is suggesting here. And I know Buffalo home field is a big deal, but Josh Allen, we know he's mistake prone, and we know that Tua Tagovailoa and his relationship with Mike McDaniel right now, it's through the roof, right? The fluidity, the chemistry that they have, when you have a symbiotic QB coach relationship like that is typically an ATS covering machine. You know, we see it with Purdy and Shanahan. We obviously see it with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. Tua and Mike McDaniel are the next version of that. And this is what they did last season, right? They came out explosive in Mike McDaniel's first year as a coach. I am not stepping in front of the Dolphins. If this drops down to +2.5, it really makes a perfect teaser legs. You can shoot that up to 6. But I like the Dolphins straight up here. I think the Dolphins are in a great position in the AFC East. They've already beat the Patriots. And, you know, as much as I like the Bills, I don't know if there's bigger momentum in the NFL right now than what the Dolphins own. So +3 seems like a gift. Maybe I'm going to be regretting that on Sunday, boys, and the Bills make a big statement. But I can't step in front of the Dolphins right now.
Amal Shaw, can we give Chris Farley some credit? Standing in the pocket with pressure from the baby, crying in the back, just completely unflappable, moved up in the pocket a little bit and still delivered the pick, even with the baby crying. That's impressive, Farley. Nice work.
Thank you. It's Sam, what's the guy's name? The quarterback, Sam Hartman in Notre Dame.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like him in the pocket, man. I can just move up, launch that ball. She's a very happy baby, so I'm not too worried about it.
She's not a Tua fan, apparently, because as soon as you start breaking down the Dolphins, once you get the beard, you will be Hartman. Okay, Farley, we'll talk to you next week. Professional handicapper, sportswagers.ca, and the podcast is Laying the Points. Appreciate it. Farley Betts on Twitter. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
Okay, there he goes. When we come back, smash or pass, yes or no, swipe right, swipe left, whatever you call it. We're going to get to it next here, Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, big guy, help me out with this one because the VSIN shows are clashing. Give the Sharp Money audience a reason to help us out outside of the fact that right now you sign up for the football season special, which gives you everything VSIN has to offer. You get 40% off. Why else should they help us by using the code SHARP?
I'll take pity in this one because all the shows are going against each other and Follow the Money is probably in the lead as far as I would guess.
Oh, for sure. Yes.
Because they're on TV everywhere and Mitch and Paul are established and awesome at what they do. And we're kind of the new little engine that could that started in February. So I will take your pity votes. I will take your pity help. Help us take down Follow the Money because they're going to end up winning this contest, which results in the show having a futures bet on the Super Bowl. And that is Patrick. That is Amal. That is myself. That is our crew. Help us beat Follow the Money. They win enough. Take them down.
Also, if you,
well done.
Also, if you oppose gerrymandering, you should definitely vote for us.
What's gerrymandering mean?
It's when the lines have drawn politically in terms of where the voting districts are, so that way you can kind of gauge or determine who's going to win. I feel like we've been gerrymandered in this whole thing.
I feel like there's probably a dude out there named Gerrymander who does not like that.
Gerrymander is so bitter right now. He just pounded on his steering wheel. SHARP is the code, 40% off right now. VSIN.com/subscribe. Good job, Bill AD, with the $1,000 voucher up for grabs as we battle against the other shows. Okay, boys, you want to call it smash or pass? You want to call it yes or no? You want to call it swipe right, swipe left? Whatever it is, Dustin, I see you talking to the engineers. Do we have an open for this one?
We don't. We don't. Not yet. One is on the way. One is definitely on the way. I will tell you, aside from this is obviously inspired by dating apps where you swipe right and swipe left, and I got to tell you, I don't know if it's football season. I don't know what it's maybe because it's not cold yet. It's not cuffing season out here where people are trying to get scooped up before the holidays start. The dating apps, it's a dry well at the moment. there's no chatter. There's no chirping. There's no matching happening.
You know what? It made me think of that because Matt Eumanns today, he's got a great article, 10 lessons he learned, 10 betting lessons he learned over at VSiN.com from week 3 of the NFL. And at the beginning of his little dissertation, he said, it doesn't quite feel like fall yet in Vegas. And I will say, walked to Starbucks early this morning, like 5:30 a.m., boys, had to grab a jacket. It was the first time it felt like fall. You know what? It felt pretty awesome.
So does that mean you got something pumpkin spiced because you were inspired by the fall?
No. It's just black. It's black coffee. But you haven't been hit with that yet there, no?
No, we still have 90s, but we're going to be there next in about a week and a half.
Hopefully.
Okay. Now, Amal had a great rant yesterday about Zach Wilson and the quarterback situation with the Jets. So the first one up, smash or pass, yes or no? The Jets should trade for Kirk Cousins. Now, just to set you up, of course, if the Vikings move on, they're giving up on the year. We get it, but they're 0-3. Cousins is on a one-year deal. He does lead the league in passing yards. He's got 9 touchdowns, just 2 picks. Now, whether or not the Jets want to spend valuable draft capital after they just did it a few months ago on a quarterback, that is the question. But if it were up to you, GM Amal Shaw, should the Jets trade for Kirk Cousins?
100% yes. And even if it weren't Cousins and you gave me a list of other guys, I would make the move. At this point in time, I don't think Zach Wilson belongs on an NFL roster. The dissension within that locker room is only going to continue to escalate. You got Patrick Mahomes and company coming in on a Sunday night football game. I hope Mike Tirico and Chris Collinsworth have some good material ready.
Big guy?
The Jets are currently 130-1 to win the Super Bowl at DraftKings. If they trade for Kirk Cousins, what does that go down to, guys? 20-1?
I was going to say 35.
And then if Kirk Cousins is successful?
I'll split the difference and say 30. But, yeah, you're probably – I mean, that is the value of the quarterback position. Yeah. It's unbelievable. You can't even measure it.
And then you put Kirk Cousins on a team that has a defense better than anything he's had in the last couple years in Minnesota. Secondary's been atrocious the last couple seasons there for the Vikings. You give him some weapons. Obviously, he doesn't have Justin Jefferson anymore, but Garrett Wilson's not a severe downgrade overall, and there's plenty of other guys there. An elite defense. Kirk Cousins not messing things over. I think if you're the New York Jets, these windows to win in a league where the career average is 3 years, you cannot let these windows fall by the wayside. You need to capitalize on the moment, and you should go and add a guy like Kirk Cousins who can help you win because the Vikings aren't going to do anything this year.
And I believe we have, Amal, I think we have some sound from Joe Namath. Now, I'll give the big guy a second. But Joe Namath, who's obviously a Jet legend, he's never been critical of the organization. But even he recently came out, Dustin, I'll let you set it up. He recently came out and admonished what's happening right now with the Jets.
Yeah, we'll just go in order here. The first one from Joe Namath on ESPN New York with Michael Kay. And he evaluated Zach Wilson's performance.
Why? Yeah. Were you watching? Is anyone watching? I mean, please, when did you ever see Zach. We'll stay on Zach. You sit down? You sit down on the play? You go right down? What happens? I thought you're trying to win and make plays. You quit on a play? What is going on? It's disgusting.
Not as disgusting as when you shouted at Shorty, I want to kiss you right now.
Well, let's take it one step further. Namath went on and said, and he was asked, how would he make Zach Wilson better? Here's what he said.
Send him to Kansas City to back up against somebody like Mahomes. Maybe he'd learn something. I wouldn't keep him. You know, I've seen enough of Zach Wilson. All right? I've seen enough. Has quick feet, can throw a little bit, but I don't believe what's going on up there.
Joe Willie, not happy.
I got to tell you, when it comes to the mental part for Zach Wilson, the wheel's spinning, but the hamster's dead. I mean, this guy is done. Get him out of here.
Yeah, I normally wouldn't put too much like stock in what an 80-year-old guy says, but then I looked back, and pretty much everyone who covers the Jets says, Joe Namath sugarcoats everything and normally is so over-the-top positive about everything happening around the Jets that if he at this point is coming out and just trashing Zach Wilson, he is really sick of it, and that just kind of proves our point. Zach Wilson, not that dude.
Well, Joe Namath's like, have you ever heard Joe Theismann talk about the Commanders / Redskins? He just legitimately throws flowers every time he evokes the name, and that is Namath. And he just killed Zach Wilson, I think for good reason. Okay, next one up. If we were to redraft the quarterbacks, and this is obviously shtick, but let's have a little fun with it. Yes or no, smash or pass, swipe right, swipe left. Draft order today, Stroud, Richardson, Young.
Yes, correct.
I still take my guy Richardson one. I still think he's doing things that you just can't teach, you can't coach. They're just innate in his ability, but I'm splitting hairs there because C.J. Stroud's confidence is off the charts at the moment.
It's not like he's doing it with crazy talent either. And, again, you go back and watch that, and we focused on it, big guy, because we had, and I know Maul as well, had the Jaguars in Survivor. That was an ass-whooping. Like, legitimately, every time the Jags did something, Houston had an answer, and a lot of it had to do with Stroud.
Well, so remember, I gave out a prop on Friday's show, Nico Collins over, because him and Collins have had this connection. Well, all of a sudden, Sunday became the Tank Dell game. And he's just spreading the ball around, getting people involved. And I think that's a sign of a really good quarterback, knowing that a team is going to come in and they see a tendency is to focus on this guy. And he's ahead of them in their adjustment on him. And he finds a way to get other guys involved. I have to give him a lot of credit because things are slowing down for him a lot quicker than they normally do for a rookie quarterback.
You know, to me, I thought Dustin's point is great, Patrick. He had eight different receivers that caught passes on Sunday. If you have the ability to really get the ball to different guys, that really helps a lot. And I think this team is headed in the right direction. When you look at the receivers, Tank Dell's a third-round pick. Robert Woods was a second-round pick. Nico Collins a third-round pick. They're good receivers, but we're not sitting there going, hey, these are top 30 receivers in the National Football League. I like Brevin Jordan, the tight end from Miami, but I'm going to tell you, and this is the one thing that scared me, Patrick. I watched that Colts game on Sunday closely against the Texans 2 weeks ago, and I could see him growing in confidence. Stroud was just stepping into every throw. And you're right. When you watch that game against the Jags, man, it looked like he was the guy who was the first overall pick, and I know he was the second, but the point is Trevor Lawrence looked like the younger, inexperienced guy compared to what we saw to Stroud.
Next one, smash pass, yes, no, swipe right, swipe left. The Colts, you just mentioned them. The Colts are the best team in the AFC South. One bad quarter against Jacksonville, or they're 3-0. You're laughing, big guy. I'll start with you then. You're laughing, but one bad quarter, they're 3-0.
I know. The division is gross, man. So the Jaguars, while the upside is all there and the new roster looks awesome, they don't have a pedigree to be as heavy as a favorite as they were heading into the year. The other side, the Titans have the pedigree, but Ryan Tannehill looks done. They don't have the weapons outside, and it's not quite the roster it had been in the past. I can't get there with the Colts, but I have no idea who wins this division.
I'm 100% there with the Colts, not because they're the better team. The one thing, we got to take a step back and look at Jacksonville. They were 9-8 last year. Before that, 3-14, 1-15. The reality is this team is living off of one half of football. They're getting so much hype because of what they did in the second half of the Chargers. They are not as good as you think they are.
All right, fair enough. Nice little start to smash or pass. Or is it swipe right, swipe left? Or is it simply yes or no? We've got more coming up, including an update in New Orleans on the quarterback.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
All right, speaking of Sharp Money, use the code SHARP right now over at DraftKings and bet $5 if you're a new customer to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. It's a great deal, the best deal on the board right now. Make sure you check it out. Again, football is more fun when you're in on the action, so download the DraftKings app right now. With the code SHARP, use it, you get $5 bet, $200 instantly. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, with the code SHARP. DraftKings, The crown is yours. Amal Shah, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher as we welcome you back. So the Jags right now, just to continue our conversation about the South, and I asked the boys, yes, no, the Colts, the best team right now in the South, aside from a bad quarter against Jacksonville, could be a 3-0 football team. The Jags right now, boys, your favorites at plus 125. Tennessee, who couldn't get 100 yards against Cleveland, at 2.5-1, your second betting favorite. The Colts are plus 275, and the Texans are 11-1. And back to what Amal was talking about, big guy, when it comes to the Jags. Like, remember, the Jaguars won 5 in a row down the stretch to win their division, but 2 of those wins came against Zach Wilson and Davis Mills. Since then, they've been a disaster. I'm just looking through the schedule right now. You know, coming into last week's game against the Houston Texans, they were 31st in third downs. Like, they're just offensively, when they get into the red zone, they struggle. Play calling's an issue. Third down's an issue. It's just not a very – you both mentioned pedigree in the conversation. It's not a very good football team. But who do you trust? Maybe you trust Houston with a new head coach – and a new quarterback to continue to build. Sometimes you get that as far as chemistry in an environment where all of a sudden you start to have some, if you believe in momentum, we'll go there. And then Tennessee just looked like a dead fish. Like, I was completely wrong about Tennessee in a good spot headed to Cleveland. And then outside of them, you've got, of course, the Colts, who we're talking about here, boys.
Yeah, it's really tough to figure this one out because, to me, on paper, the Jags are the most talented of these teams. And that's simply just because they have the best offense. I still have questions about their defense. With the Titans, it feels like the end of the run for Mike Vrabel and company, but Mike Vrabel is the best coach in the division, so you can't totally count him out. And that plus 250 price to win the South is kind of intriguing. The Colts, I want to get there. I really do. But there's just so much unknown at the moment. And maybe you, if you want to bet it and you can get ahead of it, if you're somehow right on 275, I don't think you're crazy. I just think this division is a hot mess express, and I want no part of it.
Tend to agree with you.
Choo-choo.
What's that?
Choo-choo. Get on the express, big guy.
Look, guys, I think the Colts are very much alive for this division. I think you can make an argument. Hell, I'm not going to rule out the Houston Texans, okay?
Don't. You can't after last week. You can't.
The reality is, Patrick and I were talking during the commercial break, the Jacksonville Jaguars have had 2 winning seasons in the last 15 years. I'm not worried about the history, but more importantly, when you look at the recent record over the last 3-4 years, 9-8 last year, 3-14, 1-15. I get you were coached by Urban Meyer at that time. Different story, different situation. But overall, I don't think this team is quite as talented. This team, I'm telling you right now, is living on a half of football. And they're getting so much credit for based on what they did in the second half against the Chargers. Patrick mentioned the guys that they beat in the run-up to get to the postseason. Two other things, Patrick, that I would add to it. They pulled Josh Dobbs off the street to start in that game on Saturday Night Football against the Jaguars in Jacksonville. And by the way, was it me or did the National Football League sound like and say, hey, Nashville, we love you as a city, but we want Duval in the playoffs over you guys? I mean, let's be real here.
Okay, I got a random one. Yes, no. The Saints make the postseason. Now, again, yes is favored at minus 185 over at DraftKings and no is plus 150. And I bring it up because of this. Okay, Derek Carr, it looks like they dodged a bullet, a sprained ACL in his shoulder. So it's going to be week to week for Carr. But that's just the value of the quarterback. Nobody even respects Carr. But if you rip Carr for the rest of the year, do the Saints make the postseason? Because you can bet right now on the fact that that shoulder's not going to hold up. They were outscored 18-0 in Green Bay when Carr went down. There was no momentum with Winston when he came in on that offense. And if you take Carr away from this New Orleans team, Amal, it's essentially last year's team. Last year's team was a great defense that couldn't score enough. Without Derek Carr, I know it sounds crazy to say because it's Derek freaking Carr, but without Derek Carr, this is a team right now that's tied in division NFC South with Atlanta at 2-1 and Tampa Bay at 2-1.
I love the point you just made and how you broke down the Saints, and I would agree with you. Without Carr, it's going to be a tough road ahead for them. However, I'm going to go with yes on the Saints to make the playoffs, and the reason is this. Guys, if you look at this schedule, there is not a single football game they can't win. The Rams might be the toughest game remaining on their schedule, and of course, the division opponents. So for me, you look at the Bears, the Texans, the Jaguars. I mean, at the Vikings is probably a pretty tough game.
Oh, it is a light schedule. You're right. Look at that. Keep going, Amal. That is light.
The Lions are at home. Panthers, Giants. These are home games.
At worst, it's an 8 or 9 win team.
Absolutely right. And you know, the one thing, the reason I want to point out the Vikings game and potentially the Giants game, why they may not be as difficult as we initially thought, if both those teams, if that boat is taken on water, I don't know if you're going to have as engaged of a Minnesota team or as engaged of a New York Giants team down the stretch. Minnesota may decide to part with Kirk Cousins, as you guys alluded to earlier. So, for me, I think the Saints are the yes for the playoffs.
It's look, I think 8 or 9 wins is probably, you know, what the Saints are going to be, and I think 8 or 9 wins could actually win this division. You know, you could be a pretty average to below average team and win this, and let's be real. If somehow Amal and I are wrong about Desmond Ridder and the Falcons, and it comes down to week 18, the Saints roster versus the Falcons roster in the Dome in New Orleans, I like the chances of New Orleans walking away and winning the division.
Completely agree. Patrick, I'll ask you one question going back real quick. From your perspective, when you look at this team, they're one kick away. Do we have a different narrative if they make the field goal in Lambeau?
Or Carr staying healthy?
Well, you both brought it up. I mean, that and good job by Amal. That schedule is so freaking light. And Dustin, I thought about you on Sunday. I know I keep reiterating, but the Atlanta's roster and the coaching is tremendous. Don't have a quarterback. That is legitimately an anchor right now.
I almost brought it up in the Coach of the Year conversation. If Arthur Smith somehow makes the playoffs with Desmond Ridder at quarterback, 10-1 right now for Coach of the Year, he absolutely deserves it, because that is one of the few quarterbacks in the league that we've seen have questions about his abilities, just be handed the starting role on a team that's expected to win. I've never seen a player of his caliber just be handed the reins to a franchise that thinks they're contending for the playoffs. He cannot make throws when it matters. He cannot get you key third down conversions. He is one of the worst quarterbacks we've ever seen just get handed this job.
Guys, real quick, this is not an accurate way to necessarily gauge what a college quarterback is going to be at the next level, but I'm going to point out two quarterbacks and success and failures we saw in the college football playoff. C.J. Stroud looked like the best player among a professional game between Georgia and Ohio State, and Desmond Ridder was the anchor, and I love that word choice you used, Patrick, against Alabama. There were some throws that were there to be made and had, and he missed them. This guy is not a starting quarterback in the National Football League.
And I agree with both of you. Here's what I would say about Arthur Smith. I think it's his hubris. He picked Ridder because I think he thought he could scheme around him.
Yeah.
You have to factor that in, big guy, because I think he thought, give me a basic quarterback like Ridder, I'll scheme around him with my rush attack, and he is that bad. He's legitimately that bad.
And I also think part of the reason they got rid of Mariota is he didn't want to have to do the dance back and forth. He's like, I just believe in me. Arthur Smith is looking in the mirror like, I believe in me and my ability. Just give me one of the guys, avoid the drama, and I'll do my best with this one person.
Two quick questions for you guys. Number one, I love another great word choice in terms of hubris. Is he like, hey, guys, I've had Tannehill. I can win with anybody. Second, if Marcus
and Mariota... And how's Tannehill been without him?
Yeah, exactly. He's been terrible. And if Marcus Mariota's the starter there right now, do we pick the Atlanta Falcons to win the division? I'm telling you right now, he's still better than Desmond Ridder.
Oh, yeah. Oh. I'm a Mariota guy, and I admit that I was a little off on him, but he is... Head and shoulders.
Yes.
He's better than Ridder.
No, he's better than Ridder. No, but I don't know if they still...
Heineke's better than Ridder.
Exactly. I don't know if they win the division, though. I still think the Saints are better.
Patrick's point is right. This team's roster, when you look at it, is loaded, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Just give a guy who's competent. You don't have to be good.
Josh Dobbs.
Yeah,
give them Josh Dobbs. They're a playoff team.
They win
the division.
I was shocked by the Atlanta defense against Detroit.
The front is totally revamped. Sorry.
No, please. No, I totally agree. I'm taking a look at the number, 125 on the Saints. The Saints probably, with that defense, have the best unit. Would you guys agree?
Yes,
in that
no
division.
Question.
Again, the Falcons plus 165. The Bucs at 320. The Bucs. I saw enough from the Bucs offense last night. Are you freaking kidding me?
No.
That was in a big spot. National TV. That was gross.
No, don't feel great.
And rush defense, terrible.
Don't feel great about that bet I made during the show yesterday. The Bucs to win the South at plus 320. I mean, they're not totally out of it because this division is gross as well. But that front for Atlanta and those weapons on the outside in the run game, it's going to keep them in a lot of games as long as Desmond Ridder doesn't screw it up.
Amal and I were discussing, you went to the restroom. If the Panthers keep Dalton in, they could win that division.
Yeah. By the way,
Dalton was good against Seattle.
Yeah, my flow during that break was almost as good as Andy Dalton.
Okay, good segment, boys. When we're back, Adam Burke joins Sharp Money.